Is Satan real? You really believe in Satan? What do you believe in about Satan? You know, 1 Peter 5 and verse 9 says, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. What do you understand that to be about? What does that mean? And what do you visualize? Do you visualize a guy in a red suit with horns? Is that your concept of Satan? You know, if you read The Far Side in the comic strip, that's sort of the picture you get. Do you visualize Satan as a slick, everyday-looking guy who makes a deal with prominent figures? Years ago, there was a movie called Damn Yankees, and Satan in that movie was a guy in a three-piece business suit who had extraordinary powers but was functioning as a typical human being. Is that your concept? Or maybe you remember Jungle Book, where the devil was a snake with hypnotic capabilities, slanted eyes, and a sinister smile. What do you understand Satan to be? That passage, the devil prowls like a roaring lion. So do you visualize Satan on four legs looking like a lion? You know, Halloween is a good time to have that discussion. I had a meeting with some former students talking about God this past week. And we were in Panera Restaurant on the south side of South Bend. And the guy that I told you about last week, whose daughter was very blonde and very fair, this guy named Jim Peterson, I didn't mention his name. But all of a sudden, he walks in the restaurant, and we had quite a discussion about that experience. And those were Satanists. Does Satan even exist? Or is it just some comment or some picture of negative forces in the world? What do you believe about Satan? I don't know how you fight something when you don't know what it is. And it's important for us to realize that this is part of a broader picture. Let me give you a quote from Richard Dawkins. This is the world's foremost atheist. Listen to what he says. This is out of his book, Rivers of Eden. In a universe of blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt and other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason to it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect. If there is at the bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, and no good. Nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That's the atheist's mantra. By the way, that book is required reading in almost every basic philosophy course in every major university in this country. Atheists deny that there is any such thing as good or evil. Satan in Hebrew is Satanas. It's a word that means accuser or adversary. And in Job, first chapter, verse 6, we read about that confrontation between God and Satan. and it's carried on into the second chapter. When you read those first two chapters of Job, what do you visualize? God and Satan like two card players in a poker game? What do you understand to be going on there? In 1 Chronicles, the second chapter, turn to the first chapter, verse 1. Satan rose up against Israel and excited David to take a census of Israel. So what do you think Satan did? How did Satan rise up against Israel and excite David? What do you visualize happening? In the New Testament, the devil is Diablos in Greek. Another word that is used is Beelzebub. And you probably have read Beelzebub and not known what it was. Beelzebub was the lord of fly to the pagans. The Jews said he was the supreme among evil spirits. And you will remember in Matthew 12 and verse 24 that the Pharisees ascribed Jesus' miracles to Beelzebub. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and in verse 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and the sins which you used to live in when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler, listen to this, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Beelzebub, Satan, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The words Satan and devil and Beelzebub are used 43 times in the Bible. We need to understand what's going on. Because I think to a great extent, people have made a fairy tale out of Satan. I mean, that's why Far Side has a cartoon just about every week of some crazy picture of demons, people in hell, making it a joke, making fun of it. I pointed out to you last week in Halloween, there was initially in this country a picture of people making fun of Satan. I don't know as you make fun of evil. I want to make 5 points today. I hope I can stick in your head and have you think about. It's in your bulletin. Spend some time with it. And the first point, maybe the most important point in many ways, there is a war going on between good and evil. There's a war going on. And you need to believe it. What was happening with Job? Well, Job was the vehicle in which the battle between good and evil was worked out. The exchange between God and Satan make it clear. And you might remember the kind of thing that happened to Job as Satan had free rein at him within certain limitations. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, important passage, God's intent was that now through the church. Now turn your hearing aid up here and listen to this carefully. This is a vital passage. God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ. The eternal purpose. The church is a vehicle through which there is the battle between good and evil. You are part of this war. A vital part of the war. And this was God's intent from the very beginning. The book of Job is an introduction to that. But the New Testament is full of admonitions about good and evil. So how do the atheists do this? They just deny there is such a thing as good or evil. We'll get to that one in a minute. My second point. Angels are not a valid tool to test good versus evil. Angels can sin. The Bible says that. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, God spared not the angels when they sinned. But the difference between you and an angel is that angels had no opportunity for repentance. You say, well, why not? Because angels are outside of time. Angels don't die. When you do something wrong, you have time to repent. That's part of being created as physical beings. Angels are outside of time. They can't repent. You think about the implications of that. When Satan and his angels rebelled against God, they had no opportunity to turn around because they were outside of time. Matthew 22 and verse 30 says, we'll eventually get there too. Matthew 22 and verse 30 says that we will become as angels when we die. What does that mean? It means that once you die, you have no way to repent. There is no turning around once you are dead. Now, man-made religions have done everything they can to try and get around that. We have the concept that our Catholic friends have developed called purgatory. That was the purpose of it. And their understanding of the need was wonderful, but their method was not right. Jude, the sixth chapter, talks about, the ninth chapter, ninth verse, talks about the angels which left their proper estate. Angels are not a valid tool to test good versus evil. You'll want to think about that one. Point number three. Satan's attacks are spiritual, not primarily physical. Most of us here are old enough to answer this question. Which is the worst? Physical pain or spiritual / mental pain? That one's pretty obvious, isn't it? I'd rather have a broken bone than have a psychological problem because somebody hates me. The Bible says that Satan entered Peter. That happened actually twice. Read Matthew 16 and verse 23. So if Satan entered Peter, what did he do? Bible says that Satan took control of Judas. Read Luke 22 and verse 3. What did he do? See, he didn't enslave him physically. He didn't put him in some kind of chains. He didn't grab him by the neck and drag him into some act of rebellion. Satan's attacks are spiritual. They are not physical. And if you're looking for Satan to give you something to shoot at, it isn't going to be there. But the Bible tells us that Satan can masquerade as an angel of light, and that his servants can masquerade as servants of righteousness. Halloween's a good time to talk about that, isn't it? I don't remember which bulletin I wrote this in, but I was talking about Halloween in something I was writing not too long ago, and I was reminded of my son Tim and how much he loved Halloween. You say, well, how did he like Halloween? He was blind. Yeah, but Tim could go trick-or-treating with his sisters, and he would be treated as an equal. So it was kind of funny. In the neighborhood, everybody knew, you know, there was Wendy and there was Kathy and there was Tim. It was masquerade. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 14. For such men are false apostles. Oh, really? You mean there can be somebody who claims to be a religious leader who's a false apostle?
Yeah.
Deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Want to see one? Turn on your television. Turn on your television. There are people claiming to be religious who are evil people. For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. You know, the media makes sure that we know when some religious leader does something stupid. Front page, when somebody, you remember all of them, Jim Baker on down through the lines, masquerading as servants of righteousness. Satan is never obvious. You hear me on that? Satan is never obvious. That is not his method of operation. That is not his MO. Satan works on us mentally, on spiritually. But those challenges are much stronger than any physical challenge. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone that I could solve their physical problems, but I could not solve their mental problems. And those people get taken advantage of again and again and again. My fourth point. We need to understand Satan's methods. We need to understand Satan's methods. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. As Christians, we need to know how Satan works. How can you help somebody when you don't know how they're being afflicted? One of the best biblical examples of that is Matthew, the 13th chapter. Starting with verse 24. This is a parable of Jesus. And see if you can connect that to the way Satan operates. I'm starting with verse 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while his workers slept, his enemy came in and sowed weeds among the wheat. The Bible says tares, that's a weed. And went away. Verse 26, so when the blade of corn shot up, or wheat shot up, and yielded its ripened fruit, the weeds appeared as well. Verse 27, so the owner's servant said, sir, didn't you just sow good seed in your field? Where are these weeds coming from? Those of us that have flower gardens can relate to that one, can't we? Cindy keeps saying to me, where do these weeds come from? Well, same situation, except the enemy is a little different. Verse 28. And he said to them, the enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, will you then that we go and gather them up? Verse 29. But he said, no, because you'll gather up the tares, but you'll tear up the wheat at the same time. Verse 30. Now listen to this. Let both grow together. The wheat and the weeds. Until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather first of all the weeds. Bind them in bundles and burn them. And then gather the wheat into my barn. See, Satan plants seeds. Satan plants seeds. That parable is such an appropriate picture of how Satan works. He puts seeds in your brain. You need preen. You say, what's that? Preen is a stuff you put that stops weeds from germinating. Cindy has buckets of preen. But it doesn't stop all the weeds. But you know what God's word for preen is? It's the church. It's God's word. That's the only thing that will stop Satan's seeds from germinating. If you're listening to the radio, if you're listening to television, if you're reading things written by human beings, not going to stop Satan's seeds from germinating. Notice that the weeds are not recognizable until the harvest. And isn't that true of sin? You see, Satan has imitated the good things of God's creation. God created sex, which is a wonderful blessing in the marriage relationship, and Satan has turned it into pornography, an epidemic in our culture. Satan has taken politics and made it a substitute for faith. Satan has taken health and wealth and confused them. Satan has taken thinking and humanism and corrupted the minds of some of the most brilliant people among us. Did you notice that the enemy did his sowing at night? When does Satan come? Not in broad daylight. It's subtle. It's cowardly. It happens at night in a movie theater. It happens in front of your television. It happens at night places, night spots, nightclubs. It always interests me when you have a shooting in South Bend, what time of day does it take place? Usually in the cover of night, doesn't it? And Satan does not handle resistance. James 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil and he will come, he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You know, in 53 years of giving lectures, having debates with atheists, I could tell you story after story after story after story of how Satan and atheists tried to get me into a situation that would corrupt my message. I was married to a wonderful woman who helped me resist that. I knew that on Thursday night when I was leaving on Friday that she would be especially loving and warm. I never went to bed in those lectureships without talking to God about whatever had happened during the lectureship that I was concerned about. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our problem is that many people do not want to resist the devil because they like what he serves. But did you notice that in the parable, the owner said you can't pull the weeds without destroying the wheat? We can't just go in and arbitrarily slam away at people that are struggling with sin. How many times have you tried to talk to somebody who was doing something that was just atrociously wrong? And realize after talking, maybe even for hours, that you weren't getting anywhere. See, you can't pull out the thinking and the attitude and the mental struggles of men and women. God waits for what is in our heart to come out. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 tells us that. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Hey, folks, we all face the same struggles. We all have the same difficulties in life. There's not a one of us here that is rolling in money. Sexual temptation is not something that is just for the people in the nightclubs. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. When pornography appears on your television set or on your movie screen, what's your response? When you check into a motel and they've got a pornography channel going, what do? There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But listen to this. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out that you may be able to stand up under it. You know, as you grow older, you recognize, looking back, how many times God has provided a way out, and you may not have known it was a way out at the time. But that statement in 1 Corinthians 10, 13 is absolutely 100% true. Also understand that ultimately Satan's work will be destroyed. I want to read the rest of that passage we started with tonight. Listen to what all of 1 Peter 5 says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be controlled and alert. Here's what I quoted earlier. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, when you read all of that passage in 1 Peter, you get a completely different picture. Yeah, he walks around as a roaring lion, but that's only if you're not prepared. Ultimately, Satan's work will be destroyed. Matthew 13, 49 says, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. Oh, I look forward to the time when I won't have to worry about pornography, drugs, pain. My last point. Logic and common sense agree denying Satan's existence is foolish. It's absolutely crazy. Let me tell you something. Evil and good do exist. I don't know what kind of a world Richard Dawkins is living in. But to say there's no such thing as evil is just to be naive. How can you look at what happened with Adolf Hitler and say evil doesn't exist? How can you look at the tragedies that have been a part of what's happened in America in the last 2 years and say evil doesn't exist? Those of us that served in Korea, those of you that served in World War II, did evil exist? That's nonsense. Satan's not a man in a red bodysuit, but Satan is real. The force of evil is upon us all. And where does Richard Dawkins' statement take you? Did you notice what he says? The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at the bottom no design, no purpose. If you don't have no purpose in life, if there is no design for your existence, then what value do you have? Why do you go on, especially when you become less fit and get old? The statement is nonsense. What does make sense is to understand that if we, in fact, believe there is a war between good and evil, and we are part of that war just like Job was. If we do, in fact, understand that we have a purpose which angels cannot serve because of our nature. If we do understand that Satan is not some kind of business suit that's going to offer you something, but Satan is a spiritual force that is alive and active and well on planet Earth, then you also understand his methods and know how to defend yourself. Logic and common sense agree. Satan is real. I hope you spend some time with this lesson. I think it is so important, especially in an age like the one we live in, where just about everything is being allowed by our politicians. In the next few years, you're going to see prostitution legalized in every state in this country. In the coming years, you're going to see the after effects of the legalization of marijuana as a recreational drug. I don't have to tell you what you can read and hear. But Revelation 21, beginning with verse 3, tells us the real end of this all. John says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Oh, I'm ready. I am ready for everything new, aren't you? And if you're not, that's why we extend an invitation song every Sunday to say to you, look, that is within your control. You can resist Satan by letting God make you new, by being baptized into Christ, and by continually striving through the 5 points we just discussed. If we can be of assistance to you, we encourage you to come and express that as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?